pesticides and synthetic salt fertilizers, you've got the wrong station. What we talk about here is common sense land management, how to use products that improve the soil, and we'll discuss using easy-to-grow adapted plants. We will tell you when and how to plant them correctly. To be on the show, call us at 866-444-DIRT. That's 866-444-3478. Now for all the answers to all of your questions, here's the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. We'll go back to the phones whenever you're ready, so jump on board here at 866-444-3478. I've got a couple of things, stories to talk to you about, and I first want to tell you, remind you about something that has helped me greatly, and I get a lot of questions about it, and people want to know if I would do it again. The answer is yes, and that's doing stem cell therapy. The company I work with is Achieve Vitality, and you can call them for an appointment, which is free, and get some advice about whether or not they think it'll work for you. If you have, you know, problems with your neck, your shoulders, your knees, like I did, whatever it is, if you're taking more medicine than you'd like to be taking, thinking about being operated on, all those things are reasons to check with this company. The telephone number is 800-341-2650, 800-341-2650, or go to achievevitality.com. That's not right. It's achievevitalitycenters.com/thedirtdoctor. AchieveVitalityCenters.com/TheDirtDoctor. Okay. All right. Let me tell you a couple little stories, and you can jump on board here whenever you want. I had something. I'm not totally comfortable yet with it, but I think we're okay. I was working at the office getting rid of this phase. It's an ongoing forever battle. The worst weed that I have to deal with. I get a lot of questions about weeds, and I deal with some weeds myself, but by far the worst one, without question, nothing's even close, is called Carolina snail seed. I'm going to do a column. I've done one in the past. I'm doing an updated version of it, of the weed vines. You know, in the weed vine category, you got poison ivy. You've got some people consider wisteria a weed if it's not where it wants to, should be. The trumpet vine can be one of the worst in this category. The Carolina snail seed is definitely the worst because any little piece that's left in the ground will come back, and it's a woody underground thing. We had it all across the entire property at the office when we bought the place, so we've continued to work on it there. About all you can do is physical removal on a very regular basis. It works pretty well. And where you can do it, kind of like poison ivy management, you pull out, you have it physically removed, and then as it starts to feather back, grow back with tender, small foliage, you can spot spray with the vinegar or one of the other organic herbicides and get it under control pretty well. Some of the others easier than Carolina snail seed. But anyway, I was pulling some out of a rose bush and some plants, and there were two adult cardinals that were really chattering. And finally, I got in there a little bit closer, and they came at me. And they didn't hit me, but they came real close to my head, flying around me and really irritated and everything. And then I saw why. I saw the nest. There was a little bitty cardinal in the top of this rose, which I'm sure they did, thinking it would be a pretty good protection from a lot of the cats that we have running around the neighborhood. And so I stayed back, and then later on I was working in the same area again, and I looked in there to see how the little bird was doing, and the adults, cardinals, weren't chattering at me for some reason. I thought, uh-oh, did I mess up? Did I hurt the little bird? And I looked around. There was an egg left in the nest, but no little bird. And so I was working. I went back and checked a little bit later. And again, the adults weren't bothering me too much. They were still there, though, but they weren't really bothering me. And I looked over about a foot from the nest, and there was the little bird in the rose bush just staring up at me and wondering if I was going to hurt him or not. And hopefully, I'm going to go by and check on it today. Hopefully, we'll be okay. And then the other one that I was going to tell you. Oh, yeah, I had a question by email that was interesting. I talked to Bob. Bob Webster and I discussed it briefly on his show yesterday. I do a little 30-minute visit with him on his show every Saturday. But the question was, and this came from a listener in Nebraska, I think, somewhere in some other part of the country. But it was curious and told him that because I have the same thing happen in my garden. And that is my unmaintained garden at the moment, gotten behind on it. But the asparagus shoots come up, the sprouts that I don't cut that I let go on into foliage to build the crop for the next year. Some of them stay very vertical and firm, and others bend over. And the listener that sent me the letter was asking about, is that some kind of disease in the asparagus that's allowing it to bend over like that, or is it something else? In his case, the photograph showed they were all bending in one direction. Mine kind of bend down in all directions. Bob and I chatted about it, and some of his listeners kind of backed up the same thing. It happens to everybody, and some of the smaller caliper shoots are the ones that grow up, the foliage gets real heavy, and they just tend to kind of flop over. Bob did a better planting job than I did with his asparagus because he told me he had the asparagus up against a fence. And so after they start doing that flopping around like all asparagus does, he simply runs a rope around them and pulls the top of the asparagus up closer to the fence so it's not flopping out and in the way. I didn't do as good a job of planting because mine's right in the middle of the garden. So I have them all the way around. And I have, and I will this time too, put a rope around them and try to pull them up together so they're not flopping out into the walkways and onto the other plants as much. And it works fine. It's just a little bit of trouble to do it. Don't think there's any disease involved or anything else. I think it's just a structural thing. I think it will help, and we talked about this. I think it will help if the sprouts stay larger. And how do you do that? More food. Feed the asparagus. Asparagus is a heavy feeder, but even more so probably than tomatoes. So doing a little bit more organic fertilizer, spraying the foliage and drenching with Garrett juice a little bit more often than you have in the past if you've had a lot of real skinny asparagus shoots, spears. I think that would be a helpful thing for you to do. So give it a shot. And if anybody has any other tips along those lines, let me know. Okay, let's see what else I hadn't gotten to for you yet. I was going to do a little in Howard's garden about what's going on in my garden. And as I drive around, I'm seeing related to one of the last calls about having something at the base of a tree, a raised bed or anything at all. I was driving back to the office yesterday. And something caught my eye, and I went to the stop sign, and I went around the block and came back just to get a picture of it. And it was a great big tall red oak, real nice structure, big tall red oak that has the same kind of bad-looking symptoms from the freeze still going on. In other words, bare top, bunch of bare limbs all the way through the canopy, and some feathering and green growth trying to grow down toward the bottom part of the canopy. And right next to it was a red oak that was absolutely perfect. Across the street were some other red oaks that were absolutely perfect. I'm seeing this over and over and over and over again. And I'm not seeing a clear pattern yet. People are asking me, well, are the organic ones holding up better? And they organically maintained plants in general do have more protection against stress. But on the other hand, I'm seeing some plants in organic gardens, even my own, where the same plant will look absolutely perfect, and then another one will show some damage. It's really a head scratcher. It's really curious. But in this case, I saw a definite culprit, and that was the plant had a bed built under it with a bunch of posies planted under the tree. It's just a bad thing to do. Even if it didn't relate to the freeze damage, it's just not good. You end up watering too much and keeping the flare covered, and you build up more soil every time you redo the bed. So don't plant posy beds under your trees. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Azomite is a naturally occurring rock mineral and organic micronutrient soil amendment for improving root systems, plant vigor, and crop quality. Azomite can be used alone or with other amendments and fertilizers for your gardens, lawns, and trees from planting to maturity. Azomite can also be added to animal feed for chickens, horses, and other livestock. Order Azomite by calling Mike at 301-219-7540 or by going to where2buy at azomite.com/results. That's 301-219-7540 or azomite.com/results.
Tired of pain and poor health? Well, before you operate or medicate, regenerate with Infinity Stem Cells to activate your body's internal repair system, just as I did. It's simple, safe, effective, and affordable. To learn more, call 800-341-2650. Regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine, personal health, and longevity. Call 800-341-2650 or visit AchieveVitality.net.
Hard at work for over 75 years, Dram watering tools have been the professional's choice for quality and durability. Now you can create the softest shower of rain with a Dram rain wand in your garden. Choose from 9 water patterns for a variety of uses with a revolver spray gun. And use a color storm sprinkler for a lush playground. Quality you can depend on for a lifetime. Dram, the professional's choice for lawn and garden. Available at a fine garden center near you. Visit us online at dram.com.
Howard Garrett from my friends at Ulrich Barnes and their terrific line of sheds and cabin shells. Perfect for your backyard office. They'll deliver you a sturdy shell, and all you have to do is finish it out. Call 520-GET-SHED or visit their designers in Cleburne, Tyler, or Fort Worth and join the many happy customers that have given Ulrich Barnes 5-star reviews. That's 520-GET-SHED, 520-438-7433, or visit myperfectshed.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the organic manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the organic manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Hi, this is Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, for my friends at Bang Solar, the only company I recommend to go solar. Now that the economy is getting back on track, it's about time we talk more about how solar can benefit you. Here's Adam Foley, president of Bang Solar.
Thanks, Howard. We've had a great year over at Bang Solar, and we want to continue with our solar stimulus program. We want to put money back in your pocket, so that's why we're offering you another stimulus check on us. We are going to continue to keep our price at $3.10 a watt, and we are going to reward more of our customers. We have had such great people continue to support us through the past year, and it's been difficult. People stuck with us, believed in Bang Solar, and even our mission. So to give back to our community, we're going to give the next 100 customers their own solar stimulus of $1,200.
Wow. Listeners, you heard it first. Bang Solar is giving out their own solar stimulus worth $1,200 to the next 100 customers. Thanks, Adam. Call our friends at Bang Solar today at 469-283-5992.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And let's see, I've got a couple of things to catch up on there, but let's go talk to Ron first. And he's calling from Branson, Missouri. Hello, Ron.
Hi, Howard. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for calling.
Sure. I was listening to your program earlier, and someone called and asked you about crushed candy or candy as a substitute to, I guess, molasses.
Right.
Did I understand you correctly, and I may have misunderstood, but did you say that the molasses application was a one-time thing, or was that with respect to the candy application?
Well, that's in respect to the candy, but it also applies to the molasses to a degree, too, Ron. I've done some experiments with dry molasses, thinking that you could use it as a regular application, almost like it becoming your fertilizer. You know, and you use it two or three times a year and all that kind of thing. And you can. I did it for 2 years just as an experiment. And then I went back to using the more typical organic fertilizers that are blends of things, especially the ones that have alfalfa in them and things like that. And although using molasses as your fertilizer worked, the others worked a lot better. The reason dry molasses could be used more often than the crushed candy that I was talking about is that the dry molasses isn't just sugar. Dry molasses is liquid molasses sprayed onto a carbon carrier. One of the carriers that's very typical is soybean husks. In other cases, it'd be peanut, you know, ground up peanut hulls or something like that. They usually use some kind of a waste material, and so you have the sugar put onto a carbon material, and so it makes a more or less a better. Well, it does make a better blend, and not quite as good as the blended fertilizers, but you can use it more often because it's not just pure sugar.
Oh. Now, does the molasses also, is it a, as far as the soil, if I've got fairly clay soil, will the molasses improve that or help to make it less compact?
Yeah, any of the organic materials that we talk about will help the softening of the soil because they all stimulate biological activity. And the thing that improves the soil better than anything is the life cycles of microbes, the waste of the microbes, the dead bodies of the microbes. You see what I mean? And so anything that stimulates biological activity will help build softness of the soil and tilth and the productivity of the soil. And that goes for not only the sugars, like cornmeal and molasses and what we're talking about here, but the rock minerals like lava sand and azomite and granite sand, things like that, do also. Diatomaceous earth does. It provides available silica to the soil, that as does azomite, by the way. And then the compost and the organic fertilizers and all those things help soften the soil too because they all are after the same kind of thing, and that is the life in the soil. That's the key to the whole deal.
Okay. Now, I want to apply a liquid molasses because I can't justify buying a large bag of dry molasses. I don't have enough area to work. I have a hose end sprayer. Now, I can't apply the molasses without diluting it in that hose end sprayer. Would you have a recommendation as to what the blend of molasses and, say, water in that hose end sprayer should be?
No, that's kind of a subjective call that you're going to have to figure out yourself. I would make it as thick as you possibly can. All those hose end sprayers work differently, and some of them stop up as you're going and all kinds of things. It's okay to give it a try, but you may run into those. So my advice would be to blend it in water first and make it as thick as you can and still be nice and you know, not clumpy and have, you know, big chunks in it or anything like that.
Right.
And that way the hose end sprayer is going to dilute it, but you'll still be putting it out at a pretty good level.
Okay. I just wanted to mention to you my dwarf tomatoes are coming along pretty well. I know why they're called dwarf because the bushes are only about 6 or 7 inches tall right now. But, boy, the main stems on those plants are amazingly thick. I mean, they are really stout stems.
That's good. That's good. Well, I've talked to them. I haven't ordered any. I meant to. I've just had too many things going on, but that's certainly on my list. So keep us posted on it, and we'll get into doing the same thing later on if it looks like it's a good plan.
Okay. Thank you, Howard.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it. And now let's see if I hit the right button here. Pam in Richardson is next up. Hello, Pam.
Hi, Howard. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm helping someone landscape, quote unquote, a rooftop deck in downtown Dallas.
Okay.
So we will have very large pots, and I'm wondering what can withstand that sun in Dallas summers. I'm looking at Nellie R. Stevens, maybe.
I think Nellie R. Stevens would be a good choice. Are you doing just landscape plants, or you want to try to do some food crops?
No, they just want some green plants up there because it's kind of desolate right now.
Well, I think Nellie R. Stevens would be hard to beat. It's really durable. And then the agaves and yuccas, you know, would be really good. Let me put you on hold. We'll talk when I come back.
How about the best how-to video classes for gardening, landscaping, and growing hemp? The Torque online courses, designed and taught by the Dirt Doctor, clearly explain natural organic programs and why they work better in every way. They include 15 chapters of instruction and a detailed 25-page study booklet. They're fun, easy to understand, and affordable. To learn more or to sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the online class banner.
to live the natural and organic life and be healthier from one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. Learn about creating beautiful landscaping, delicious healthy food crops, safe pest management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these helpful books by clicking on Howard's Books button on the top of his homepage of dirtdoctor.com.
With the changing of seasons and the transition to winter plantings, Medina offers the perfect fertilizer for your gardening needs. Medina's Growing Green is an organic fertilizer derived from pasteurized poultry manure, humate, and molasses. It produces three stages of activity, including balanced nutrient supply, structure repair through soil supplementation, and nutrient availability. Your lawn, flowers, trees, vegetable garden, and potted plants will all love Medina's Growing Green. Versions of Garrett Juice are also made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For the natural organic care of your residential or commercial property, Medina is a choice I highly recommend. Ask for Medina at hardware stores, garden centers, and farm stores. Medina, a strong Dirt Doctor recommendation. For more information on everything they have to offer, go to MedinaAg.com. Medina, over 50 years of proven performance. It's MedinaAg.com.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer, or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Let's see if Pam stuck with us. I hope she did. I think she did. Pam, are you still with us? Okay, good.
I wanted
to spend a little more time on this question because it's a good one. The things that will do well on a roof garden have to be pretty tough. And I mentioned yuccas and agaves. In that category there, you don't have to have something that's just deserty looking. There is I've been noticing these this year more so than ever before because of the freeze damage. There's a yucca that is the softest, prettiest of all of them, in my opinion, and it's just so durably tough, it's unreal. And it's called beaked yucca or yucca rostrata, and it has real soft, silvery, blue-green foliage. It ends up having a beautiful flower at some point, too, but it would be something I would consider. And you may have to replace it from time to time, when it flowers and when it gets tall and leggy and things like that. But I think it'd be worth considering. Also, I'd put into that list the junipers in general would be one place where I would use junipers, and I don't recommend them all that much because they tend to get some pest problems and some issues when they're in a shady or semi-shady situation. But on a roof garden, most of the junipers, including the low junipers like Bar Harbor and Blue Rug and those kind of things, would be worth considering. And, you know, lavender is one of the herbs that's very durable in that kind of a situation.
Really?
Yeah, and especially Spanish lavender. It's just tough as a boot, and I love it. I have some growing in some pots on our stone deck at home, and I always enjoy it. And lantana. Lantana would be hard to not put in the list for you to consider because they can take the heat about as well as anything. If it's in an area where people aren't going to be brushing up against it, because this plant is real heavily armed, I would also consider using agarita. Now, agarita, you don't want to put in a place where people are walking real close to it. It needs to be a little bit, you know, away from being able to be touched because its foliage is so well armed, it'll cut you up. It's it looks softer than it is, but it has beautiful yellow flowers in the spring, followed by little berries that are little fruit that are delicious, and it's evergreen. So slow growing, but in a roof garden situation like that where you're in containers, it would definitely be worth considering, in my opinion. One of the little trees.
That sounds great.
Yeah, and one of the little trees that I've grown in the past, and I've been meaning for several years to get back to it, and I haven't done it yet. I let it get too shaded out, and I ended up taking it out. But it's a plant that can grow in tough conditions called Harry Lauder Walking Stick. Harry Lauder Walking Stick. It's a beautiful little contorted little tree, and has pretty foliage, and it needed to be used with some kind of evergreen. You could use liriope as a ground cover under it and have it in some pots, and I think it'd be nice too. That's just a few ideas for you for a hot full sun roof garden.
Yeah. Is it going to be too hot up there for, say, Green Mountain boxwood or any of the boxwoods?
There's a new one called Little Jim that Bob has used it and sold it at his nursery down in San Antonio and having great luck with it. I haven't grown it yet, but it might be worth looking at. It's supposed to be very compact, really pretty, and tough as a nail. So give that one a look. Yeah, it's called Baby Jim. I'm sorry. It's called Baby Jim.
Okay.
Baby Jim Boxwood. I think that's right.
Okay, one more question, and then I'll let you go, Howard. I called you several months ago about my Eagleston holly tree.
Yeah.
That I had planted, and it was really, I planted it in January of 20, and it put out zero growth all of 20. Well, it has come back gangbusters this year. It's beautiful and green. The problem is it's got some bark split on it, about 8 inches worth. And can I save it by doing the tree trunk goop?
Yeah, what you want to
do. Ties around it?
Yeah, what we want to do in that case, smear the tree trunk goop into the crack and probably all around the entire trunk for that matter, and then get a couple of sticks. In this case, you could use wooden pencils or something that size. You know, you could use chopsticks. You could use just branches that are, you know, pencil size or smaller, or, you know, finger size or smaller, and use something to wrap around the, in other words, the tape needs to be connected to the splints, the pieces of wood, not directly onto the bark. And one of the things that some people use, they'll use ratchet straps that you can get from the hardware stores. Ratchet those splints around on each side of that split, and if you do a couple more on the other side, so you're mostly putting the pressure on those splints rather than directly onto the bark, and keep that tree trunk
right.
goop there. It'll probably do good. The alternative way to do it, just be a different way, a different approach. Smear the tree trunk goop on the wounded area and just wrap burlap soaked in the tree trunk goop around and keep it moist as well. We've used that technique to even get trees that are totally girdled all the way around to bridge and live. Now, just like I recommend to everybody, make sure that the base of those trees, even though it's an ornamental tree, is the flare is very well exposed. That's important for you to do, too.
Right, right. Do you reapply the tree trunk goop, or you just put it on once and leave it there for a while and then check it?
Well, if you do it the second way I suggested there, keeping it moist for a period of time and reapplying it in a, you know, mixed with water on it would probably be a good thing to do. If you do the splints, the one application should be enough, but putting more on from time to time is not going to hurt anything.
Okay, good. Okay, well, thank you so much. I appreciate all the help.
Let me know. Take some pictures, okay?
I will. Thank you.
Talk to you later. And if you don't know what we're talking about on tree trunk goop, it's a mixture that we dreamed up years ago that works like a charm for any physical injury to woody tissue. And there's two versions of it. One, the first one that we came up with years ago, and it works great, is compost and soft rock phosphate and natural diatomaceous earth. I forgot the third ingredient. Natural diatomaceous earth, soft rock phosphate, and compost, and you put it into a container, add water, and turn it into a slurry, a mud, and you slather that onto the wounds in the woody tissue. Like we said, if it's a real severe wound, you can soak a burlap in it and wrap the burlap around it and go that route as well. The second more easy to do formula recipe is to mix a real high quality compost with azomite. Azomite is a natural mineral, volcanic. It started out as volcanic ash is how it got started, and it's just loaded with bioavailable nutrients and everything, available silica and all those kind of things. So you can use a high-quality compost like an earthworm castings mixed together with the azomite. Here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we have access to a company called the Texas Worm Ranch, and they make one of those real high-quality earthworm castings. But the point is, the higher the quality of the compost mixed with the rock mineral, the better it's going to work as a tree trunk goop, okay? You can use any formula you want to. Those are just two that we've used so far, and they work very well. We got open lines for you, too, if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. Let me tell you about the company that makes some really, really cool buildings. They make buildings of all kinds, too, buildings that you can move. You can put in place and leave them there. You can move them. They can be portable. They do storage sheds and garages. They do art studios. They do she sheds, man caves, craft rooms, extensions to, you know, buildings. They even do finished cabins. And these finished cabins will knock you out. The detailing, the they're so pretty, it's unbelievable, and they're ready to move into and live in. It's Ulrich Storage Sheds, Ulrich Barnes. Give them a call at 520-GET-SHED. 520-438-7433, or go to their website, which is myperfectshed.com. Okay, a little more in Howard's garden. One of the things that I've told a lot of you, and there may be some new listeners that haven't heard it or maybe missed it the first time, one of the plants I lost was my big bay. Had a big one. It was probably the biggest one in Texas. Bob Webster had one that was about the same size down in San Antonio. I'm sure mine was by far the biggest one in the North Texas area. The trunk diameter was 27 inches or something like that. 35 feet tall, almost that wide. And it had gotten a little bit of winter damage in past years, especially when we went from 80 degrees to, you know, real low freezing temperatures. Well, this time, not too long before we went to 0 degrees in Dallas, it was 80 degrees. Well, it killed this bay deader than a doornail from the ground up. It has resprouted. Bob's in San Antonio has done the same thing. It has resprouted from the ground. And right now I'm delinquent. I should have already done this, but I haven't. I'll admit that I've had too many things going on. I'm going to do it. I'm going to cut away the shoots that are growing, and they're really pretty right now. They're red and they're a little bit of green in them. They're really growing quickly. But I'm going to cut all of them away. There's probably 100, and I'm going to cut them all away except for 3. I'm going to pick the 3 largest sprouts that are coming out of that stump. And I left the stump kind of high because I thought, well, if it didn't resprout, I could use it for a base for one of my outdoor sculptures or something like that. But lo and behold, here it comes. So I'm going to let 3 of them grow back into a bay tree, a multi-trunk tree, and we'll have bay leaves this year. We already do for use. So any of you that have same situation with your figs, that's pretty much the situation I'm seeing.
More than
figs.
Ever, it's important to have a healthy immune system. Vitamin C is helpful, but there's an even stronger antioxidant, glutathione. Maintaining optimum glutathione levels in the body is key in protection from bacteria and viruses. RegActive's essential ME3 stimulates glutathione production in your body, especially as we age and are more vulnerable to diseases. Be proactive about your immune health. Get essential ME3 now. Call 800-430-6180 or go online.
Nature's Creation provides home gardeners, landscapers, and farmers with products for fertilization, soil health, insect and disease control, and weed control. New from Nature's Creation is organic garden soil with mycorrhizae. It's great for planting vegetables, herbs, and ornamentals from transplants or seeds. Ask for Nature's Creation products in independent garden centers and hardware stores. To learn more, go to naturescreation.co. That's naturescreation.co.
Crazy water is what I drink. You should too. Crazy water is naturally alkaline with trace minerals and electrolytes for the health and body balance you need. You can buy Crazy Water at retailers across Texas or go to drinkcrazywater.com to find a nearby store. That's drinkcrazywater.com. Crazy Water has been helping people feel better since 1881. It's so good, it's crazy. Website, drinkcrazywater.com.
Mosquitoes can transmit deadly diseases including Zika virus and West Nile virus, but Summit Mosquito Dunks kills mosquitoes before they are old enough to bite. Just float an organic mosquito dunk in ponds, bird baths, rain barrels, and any standing water to kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Don't worry, mosquito dunks won't harm people, pets, fish, or wildlife. Mosquito dunks are available at garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. For more information, go to SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
With the changing of seasons and the transition to winter plantings, Medina offers the perfect fertilizer for your gardening needs. Medina's Growing Green is an organic fertilizer derived from pasteurized poultry manure, humate, and molasses. It produces 3 stages of activity, including balanced nutrient supply,
structure repair through soil supplementation, and nutrient availability. Your lawn, flowers, trees, vegetable garden, and potted plants will all love Medina's Growing Green. Versions of Garrett Juice are also made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. For the natural organic care of your residential or commercial property, Medina is a choice I highly recommend. Ask for Medina at hardware stores, garden centers, and farm stores. Medina, a strong Dirt Doctor recommendation. For more information on everything they have to offer, go to MedinaAg.com. Medina, over 50 years of proven performance. It's MedinaAg.com.
Our bodies depend on a potent powerhouse of beneficial bacteria that support and improve every aspect of our health. Dr. O'Hara's formula encourages probiotics to function at their peak performance. Encapsulated in a vegetarian soft gel, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is a live paste of 12 strains of probiotic bacteria and nourishing prebiotics from whole fruits and vegetables. Transformative postbiotic compounds created during Dr. O'Hara's probiotics' exclusive 3-year fermentation process are present in every capsule. These restorative postbiotics nurture diverse gut bacteria, leading to better digestion, improved immunity, and exceptional health. Join the millions of people worldwide who know the power of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at natural health retailers nationwide and online. Go to www.essentialformulas.com for a retailer near you. That's essentialformulas.com.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Well, Dave had to cut me off there in the middle of my talk about figs because I wasn't watching the clock. Sorry about that. Just to finish, I'm not sure exactly where it ended, but I was saying that just like my bay, the figs, for the most part here in North Texas and a lot of the country probably, died all the way to the ground, but are trying to come back out. The real big one near my house is primarily coming back from the ground, and some of the bigger trunks are trying to re-leaf. And so waiting a little while on that sort of situation is probably best. If it's obvious that the stems are already dead and dry, you can go ahead and cut all the way to the ground and let, like most of them are, and let them come back from the ground like we're doing with the bay. I'm doing it with a couple of figs, as a matter of fact, myself as well. Okay, let's try to catch up. Don apparently was cut off by David's nimble fingers earlier, and let's see if we can help him. Hey, Don.
Good morning, Howard. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for calling back.
Well, I heard you about azomite, lava rock that you was talking about down there, and living up here in Oregon, I was wondering if some of this lava rock that they have up here, they grind it up and they put it on the roads over the passes. If that does not have salt in it, would that be a good addition to add with some of the soil mix here to have their mineral value?
Oh, absolutely. And even if it has salt, why would it have salt in it from treating for ice or something?
Yes.
Okay.
For some places I've known in the country, they've taken, you know, ground up rock and they put a little bit of, well, most time now maybe they use it, maybe they got away from that. I'm not sure.
That's interesting. Mix a little salt with it for ice use. That would work real well. The interesting thing, though, Don, is that I recommend lava sand just by itself for ice, or it sets up a grit that works. You don't even have to put the salt in it. So to answer your question, yes, if you can get it without it being contaminated with something, it'd be a wonderful ingredient for your soil mixtures there. Where you have volcanoes that have blown out in your state, and you already have a lot of volcanic material in the soil, it wouldn't do as much good for you from the paramagnetism standpoint, but it would help you with the water holding capacity and other things. So, yeah, it'd be a good product for you to use, especially since it's local and wouldn't be expensive.
Yes, so we could get that. We're down here in the valley, we could probably use it. The other question I have a Daphne Odora over here that we moved in here from another place. Last year we planted it here, and this year it was just starting to come on with the buds on it, everything, and I looked like I thought might be a little bit low, and I thought it could do better if it was re-rooted or taken out of the ground. So I carefully lifted it out with the ball. I mixed up a mixture that we have people brought in, horse manure over here with shavings in it. And it's been sitting there for quite a while. I don't know for how long, but it's not over a year. And I brought that back. I mixed a little bit of tree trimmings that was shredded that we had up here in an ice storm, and some nice dirt and other things, and lifted that plant up and planted the thing in there. And now it looks like somebody cursed the thing. It's just kind of the flowers never come out, really, just halfway out, and it just everything kind of drying up on it. And I was wondering, what in the world? I don't think I watered it that too much. Well, I put some of your juice and other stuff on it, but it just looks like it's going to not make it. And I was wondering what I could do to revive that.
Well, you may have shocked it a little bit by lifting it and replanting it. And we want to put all those organic amendments that you mentioned there into the bed preparation, you know, mixed with the existing soil, and not just put right into the pocket where the plant went, not into the planting hole. So you may have just given it a little bit too much of the good stuff, you know, and shocked it a little bit. So
right.
If it doesn't make it, you have to redo it. Just make sure next time you use that material to prepare the whole bed, not to go in just around a plant.
Okay, I was wondering if I just go out there now, lift that thing back out of there, like you say, prepare the bed, maybe make it a little bit higher with some existing soil around there, pretty much get it away from the other stuff and see if I can revive that thing.
I think that's what I would do.
I think
that's exactly what I would do.
But prune it back a little bit, do you think, or not?
If it's got deformity in the new growth, that might help some to kind of help it put some new shoots out. Just a little bit of tip growth. Don't prune it back too hard. Just lightly and put it in the new bed, and I think you can get it to come back.
Well, I'll give it a go, and we'll thank the Lord that he'll help revive it.
Keep me posted and let me know. All right.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Thank you for calling. Let's see. Yeah, in general, we don't like to put a bunch of stuff down in the planting hole. We like to put just the soil that came out of the hole when you dug the hole. If you've prepared the entire area with the amendments, you know, you've got it scattered out and you've got it diluted and all that, and backfilling with that material when it's the whole area, that works fine. But putting something down in the planting hole, no matter what you're planting, that's softer, that's a different chemistry, that's got more power, got more fertilizer, got more whatever, you're putting too much in one spot, then that can hurt the plant. I'm afraid that's what happened in Don's case. So spread it out in the entire bed. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. Those of you holding, I'll get to you right away at the beginning of the next hour, so don't go away. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. Website is dirtdoctor.com, and it's DIRTDOCTOR. If you have a question for me and I'm not around on the radio, info@dirtdoctor.com.